Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. No snowflake in an avalanche ever feels responsible. When in the grip of ego, it's easy to hop from one side of the responsibility duality to the other. I did it. It's my fault. Or, hey, I didn't do it. It's got nothing to do with me. It can be tricky to see that both identifications are no more than expressions of an illusion of being separate from life, code word ego. Being jerked between guilt and blame is a familiar place when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. We don't need to look far into society to recognize that process as a cultural obsession. Today, let yourself explore what responsible is when there's no guilt or blame involved. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Mary Jane in Greece, actually.
All right. Well, that's very fun.
Yeah, I mean, truly,
it sounds like you are, you know, in the next room. God, you got to love technology. Yeah. Okay. What are you seeing?
Well, I think this, yeah, I guess I'm really seeing that going into the, like there's this, anyway, in my brain it just goes to I want, I don't want, I'm responsible, I'm not responsible, and just this place, I think being in Greece, it helps a lot because people are not on technology much here, of just, it's easier just to, like you feel, I've slowed down a lot. And that I feel that I'm experiencing less of that, I guess, guilt and blame, duality, and just, okay, here's what next. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat. I feel like I'm related, like conditioning is trying to get me in different ways now because I'm less in its story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is so helpful to be in another culture or to just be somewhere where your language is not the one being spoken.
That's true.
The whole nervous system just – so, you know, when we're sitting, we can be meditating with just about anything, any noise. You know, it's airplanes or cars or – whatever it is, sirens, whatever it is, but a human voice, the attention just goes there immediately. It's almost impossible. I mean, it takes deep, deep practice to be able to stay present where you want your attention to be when somebody's talking. So
you're right.
When somebody is talking in another language, it's kind of like white noise. You don't understand it. You're not going to understand it. Why listen to them?
Or it's interesting.
Right?
So it's like you're trying to understand it. You're not trying to. You're not reacting. And
right.
Yeah, and I think that you know. But I can see because I'm coming back to the U.S. in a few days, so I can see it amping up like that. You know, and mm-hmm. I think there's
like you're leaving retreat
here. Yeah. like when you're coming back from a retreat and then it's going to just kind of say, oh, you had this great time really listening to life and now I've got you back in my grip.
Yeah. And that's good to see, isn't it?
It's good
to see. People get lulled into believing that this thing, that this system that we're talking about is some sort of benign, you know, it's kind of annoying, but it, you know, I'm really in control here. Okay. That it doesn't, it's not a big issue in my life. Well, yeah, it is. And in those kinds of circumstances, we really get to see what a big deal it is. You know, Mary Jane, when you first said about, you're in another culture and there's not that much technology going on there, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we would regularly, as a Sangha, call no technology days? So you just put your phone in a drawer, turn the computer off, put the iPad under your pillow, whatever it is that you've got going on, and just off for the entire day and see what that's like. Not on retreat where, it's taken away from me, so I really have no choice about it, but voluntarily to just put it down and watch what happens to us and feel the nervous system just begin to settle and relax.
That's what I feel. I feel like my nervous system here, like I can sit now for 2 hours just sitting looking at the nothing and not doing anything. Like that's, I know I have a feeling. I have no craving for TV. And so I think I just really want to practice a lot. I've been doing a lot more recording and listening. And I'm in the email class too. Right now, as I'm preparing to re-enter and just also bring these ways of living that are kind of within us. You know, I think our culture is very egocentric karmic conditioning in its grip, in the American culture especially. I really appreciate practice right now. And can I just mention one thing that happened unexpectedly before
please.
I go? So today was 5 years ago. Last time I was here was 5 years ago, and this woman was struggling, and I don't know. I just ended up leaving my book, What You Practice Is What You Have, with her. And today she handed me, her friend translated it into Greek. So I'm going to send it to you. So we have What You Practice Is What You Have in Greek now.
Oh, how very fun. Wow, and she must have liked it if she spent the time to translate it.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's very fun.
Well, thank you.
All right.
So much.
Well, you travel safely and enjoy the next 2 days of just sitting there meditating, not meditating. You don't have to call it meditation. Just sitting there, breathing and noticing.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks, Mary Jane. That was so fun to see how the teachings make their way around the world.
Yes.
All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Anna from Seattle.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm identified.
Okay. Tell us what you see.
For example, just about the assignment, but I can't really remember. After I read it right away, I can't remember it. And if I want to talk about it, I can't, and my memory is really, well, interesting. It's not normal, I'm back to the brain story. But, it's just really sometimes.
And so, do you record it? Do you record the assignment when you get it?
Oh, I used to. I don't do it anymore.
Ah, there.
Sometimes, but not every day.
And I bet you can see the difference, right? If you record it and listen to it regularly during the day, it's a very different experience from just reading it and then there it sits somewhere. But not available to you, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that, that could be a that could be a good one, huh?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then, well, I could just talk about other huge identifications, or I could just talk about practice success.
I always would rather hear about a practice success, simply for the for the reason, that giving more attention to what ego is doing, you know, if it were an exploration of what it's doing, then that's one thing. But reporting on what it's doing is just giving it more attention. So, yes, I would much rather hear about a practice success and an assurance, a reassurance that from now on, for as long as you can manage it, you're going to read the assignment, record it, listen to it four or five times during the day, notice what you notice, record that, listen to that, and, you know, make your way out of this, the grip that ego has on you. Because, you know, it's no fun to be in the grip of ego.
Yeah.
So what about your success?
Well, last time when I called, I was, well, now I have to cry.
Good, because you can see what it's trying to do to you right now, right? Just trying to get you back down that alleyway. So, success.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, right now it was saying, I do want to process what, you know, the identific, like what you were saying, but it's saying I'm not able to because of brain. Like, I can only report on what it's doing to me, but I don't know, you know, how else to talk about it.
Yeah, but but you don't need to do that. You're going to tell me about your success.
Yeah. So I was calling last time and I was about to go to Tai Chi, but I was feeling really exhausted and everything. And I didn't.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, yeah. But then I went to Tai Chi and it was really hard, and I also almost had to cry because it felt so hard and just completely blurry in my brain and everything. And then I was done and I was going, leaving. And then I had to start crying really hard. And and I just felt, a lot of compassion for myself. So I think that was really the why all of this is happening, or that was happening, to bring me more in touch with this compassion.
Yes, to see what that system is doing to you. And the part I want to underline is you're seeing what that system is doing to you, and you're going ahead and doing what takes care of you in spite of what it's doing, which this conversation is another example of, right? You're choosing to come through for her regardless of what that crapola is yammering on about inside your head. You're making a choice for your heart regardless, and that's what we want to underline. That's what is true, and that's what matters, not what that other stuff is.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Growing compassion for her. Compassion and commitment and understanding and appreciation. So you're going to make a recording about all that too, okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Anna. It's so up in practice right now, right, Terry, this notion of never losing sight of what conditioning can do. And then when we are identified, the ability to explore that place from a place of awareness without necessarily just reporting on it,
because we're mm-hmm. interested in discovering how the suffering process works in order to transcend it at every place in that it happens, and not spending our entire time giving it attention. And so it's a really subtle place to be able to calibrate to. And it sounds almost as if that what we do in each of those places is different in the in the practice sense. That I'm going around life trying to be in expanded awareness. My attention is on life. And then when I do get identified and I come to, there's that willingness to explore that process, because those are the places where the awareness collapses and I don't know it. And what I'm interested in is determining how the awareness can collapse if my intention is to be in an expanded awareness as I go about my day.
Yeah. Yeah, and the kind of the short version of what you just laid out is, how do I get conned?
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to see. So if I hear a voice in my head constantly saying, you're so stupid, you're never going to, you're so stupid, you're never going to, reporting that the voice is saying that to me, it's not going to get us anywhere, right? But seeing when that happens, what triggers that? What happens to me as a result of that? So now, instead of, I was saying this to somebody in the email class yesterday, what we're learning to do is to watch conditioned mind, not watch ourselves through conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most powerful shift. And as you're pointing out, it's really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's subtle to find it. It's like so many things. It's subtle to find it, but once you find it, it's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really ties into the snowflake quote in that sense, right? That
yes.
The snowflake and the avalanche. It's a beautiful Zen way of expressing what you just said.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And so the key part with both of those is no self-hate.
Yeah.
If I can't watch what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate does to me, if I'm allowing self-hate to do the monitoring, I have to just be able to watch the process
mm-hmm.
without getting then accepting ego's assessment of what a terrible person I am because I'm either blaming somebody else or finding fault with myself.
Mm-hmm.
We drop that piece of it and the rest of it gets really kind of straightforward.
Mm-hmm. And interesting.
And interesting, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller, Sherry. Thank you very much. That is such a useful practice conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Joan. Joni.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Joey.
Joni. Joni.
Joni.
Hey, Sherry. Hi.
Hey, Joe. Oh, Joni with an N, not Joey with an O-E-Y. Hey.
I know. Hi.
How you doing?
Gosh, I'm doing really well. I've been trying for so long to get on. I'm just happy that I got on. So.
Oh, good. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah. No, it's great to be here. It's funny. I was like so many people, you know, nervous waiting in the queue, and then now I'm excited that I'm on.
Yeah.
So it's really great.
They're the same thing, Joni. Those are the same thing. Nervous, excited, same thing. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Good.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Thank you. First of all, like so many others, I just can't tell you just how much Project Joy has meant to me this year. It's just been fabulous.
Oh,
and I love it. It's been so helpful. It really has. I've had lots of opportunity to practice, oh boy,
uh-huh.
in so many ways. And there's some really cool things that I'm discovering in my practice. And, you know, as Sammy likes to say, you know, a lot of times, I mean, the advantage of the events that happen to us when we get into EKC is, of course, we get to practice how we get out of it. And
yes.
that's been, I think, a really important thing for me is discovering the tools, so many of which I've learned, you know, from the seminars, you know, the off-sites and stuff like that, and just through everything we do. So, interesting enough, some really cool things have been happening. For some reason, this year, and I'm doing really good at beginning to not attach stories to it anymore. But a lot of times, uh-huh. I'll just simply pain come up. And I've gotten very good at being able to, when I become aware of it, you know, discern the story and let go of the story and focus. And then try to let go of the emotion, giving the physical sensations, you know, a label, and
uh-huh.
experience the sensations. And sometimes I can just let go with that. And then I find I still sometimes need to use yet another tool to still move myself into a place, you know, sensations and emotions that I want to be in. And there's two things that have been happening that are really helpful. The first is just listening to the radio show. So a lot of times if I'm feeling down or whatever, I know at this point, that one tool I can go to 90% of the time is to go back to one of the old radio shows from this year.
Yep. Yep.
And just listen to it again. And
yep.
it's funny how invariably, you know, somebody says something or you or Srini says something and it just pulls me out. I just laugh and it pulls me out and I get mm-hmm. my aha and I'm able to move forward. Another
yeah.
thing that I'm also noticing.
Can I, Joni?
Please.
Joni, let
sure.
me, I just have to underline that. Because what you're describing so beautifully is the power of learning how, knowing how to direct attention. That's what you're describing.
Yes.
That's what you have learned, actually. We can put that in the past tense. That's what you have learned, and that is what you are practicing. So go ahead.
Yes, and it is hilarious too because of course it's fun to hear the voices when they come in. It's like I don't wanna, you know, I want to stay stuck
yes.
in this and whatever. But but you know, it's funny, you know, the good old self pity pot, right?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have
uh-huh.
as much. That pity pot doesn't have as much pull anymore. I mean, the
yeah.
wanting to feel joy. So it's beginning
yeah.
to really be there. And,
yeah.
And you know, like all of us, I'm not perfect, but it's so much better. I mean, it's really
yes.
been just so much more amazing. And I want to, for me, something that's coming up, I'm really noticing recently, another tool, is the power of words. And I'm noticing, like, for example, I think it was last Friday, yesterday. One of the quotes, we talk about the preciousness of the body that we're borrowing, you know, that's being lent to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the word preciousness, when I heard that, I was listening in on the radio show, and every time I heard that word, you were talking to someone about it, it was so funny. I immediately felt just so good. I mean, it was like I could feel love for myself. And how
yes.
precious
yes.
I was. You know what I mean? To myself.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
And just the choice of a word, you know, compassion
yes.
and just love. And I noticed this actually way back when in my very first retreat and, you know, nothing is wrong with you, but I never really noticed it.
Yep. Never, you didn't get it. You didn't get the importance of it, right?
Right. Right.
You had the experience, but at that point you didn't get that that's the whole deal.
It
right?
really is amazing.
It's the whole deal.
Yeah.
It's the whole deal. Because again, Joni, what you've caught on to and what you're practicing is what happens when you direct attention. So people get talked into suffering by a negative conversation in conditioned mind. It's the words, right? And what you've realized is, and exactly the opposite is true, we talk ourselves into what is true by looking to words that actually fit life, like presence and compassion and gift and preciousness and gratitude.
I love those words. And joy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I love those words.
Yes.
They are just kind of beginning to get this hold on me. Compassion was, I think, the first one that really, you know, way back when. And I'm beginning to remember to use those words more on myself, you know. And when I'm looking at something and, you know, if I can just recover a word, I breathe, you know.
Yes. And you can feel yourself move from the dark room to the light room.
Yes.
You can feel the movement. And what's happening with you that is possible for all of us is that the more you practice what you're describing, the more that's going to be real to you, and the more life that you're creating an opening, and the more the intelligence that animates is going to be dropping what is so into that opening. Yeah? Isn't it good? Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you.
And the really fun part, as you know, is that getting to this place does not make us want to quit. Right? It doesn't. I mean, the voices will say, okay, good. Good, Joni. You got it now. You can calm down and get on to enjoying your life. No, because this is the, as they say, the tip of the iceberg. And we're seeing, right? We're just beginning to see what might be possible for us. And, do you want more joy? Do you want more gratitude? Do you want more loving kindness in your life? Of course. Of course. And knowing that is possible for us, the foot is on the accelerator. We just want to start pushing that accelerator down. More of this. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Joni.
Thank you very much. I'll see you in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to
it. Yes. Yeah. All right. Take care.
Also,
bye-bye.
Also, I'm putting my vote in for the No Technology Day. So I'll support
that. Good. Okay, good. I know Ashwini is listening to this, so it's going around in there, and how can we make that happen for us? All right, thanks, Joni.
Thank you so much, Gosso. Thank you.
Thanks, Joni.
Gosso.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, what was dropping in about the No Technology Day, Sherry, was we have an International Day of No Self-Hate. How about we say it's an International Day of Presence, No Technology and No Self-Hate?
Yeah, make it kind of a regular thing.
Some other way.
Very
maybe
good.
Our focus next year might be on that. Who knows?
Yeah. But I tell you, it certainly kick up some stuff for us to be able to practice with.
Yes. What are you tuning into? Anyway, that we don't have time for another caller, Sherry. So how about I read our assignment for the day?
That'd be great. Thank you. In solidarity with Anna, I'm going to record it and listen to it many times today.
Freedom of will is the ability to gladly do that which I must do. Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, gets a lot of mileage out of making people believe doing what I want is the ultimate freedom. As we pay more attention, we realize that is the ultimate freedom for ego.
Trapped in that belief, we avoid, resist, and procrastinate as we're being told, not having to do what I don't want to do takes care of me. Then the beatings follow, because if I were the right person, I would do what I should do and not avoid, resist, or procrastinate. True freedom comes from following life's guidance in each moment, doing what we must do, because that is an experience of oneness with life. Today, enjoy the pleasure of doing all you must do, all life guides you to do, gladly. Record and listen.
Wow. Great day.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Deep Garcia.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care. Go happy.
Go happy.